prayer list. I have a wheel that I've made, much like teachers use to study the vowels, you know, where there are little windows in it, you turn it and there's a new space every day. And that I put my names in, and if they wear out, then I put a new pasted piece of tape in there, so that every day as I do my prayers, I turn to one of those names. If you have a picture, it's very helpful. If you have a negative, it works even better for me, because being a light person, I feel that the negative, when I hold it up to the light, is in reverse, and I see light in darkness and dark in light, right? That helps you very much as a healer to focus upon that. Not asking what is wrong with the person. If it's told to you, fine. Or what is the center of this? It helps you if it's a head, or if it's an arm, or if it's a foot, to know where you're visualizing the perfect healing power to be, the perfect image that you hold in your mind. Just as the photograph helps you to place that image when you don't know the person. You're dealing by mail, right? And so you have not met the person, but you've been asked to heal them. And that helps you a great deal, because it enables you to look at the form of that individual and to look at the dark part in light and the light part in dark. So it's the light part that you ignore. In the negative, you're working always on the dark part of the negative, but with light, transferring the light to that. That, I feel, is helped most of all by particular prayer symbol that you use, be it the short beads that are used in Tibetan work, a bead from a mala that has been used for many years by a spiritual teacher. Maybe you'll have some given to them and you'll put them in a box. Always keep the things that you use as spiritual impress covered. White cotton, particularly wrapped in white cotton, or just in a natural wood box, rosewood or cedar, keeping them in a wooden box and used for that purpose. Then put that bead or that crystal on the negative at the point where that person, the healing that you're doing, is going to be, and leave it there with your prayer. The next, if you leave it overnight, then the next morning when you do your morning prayers, you pick that up again, put it back in its place, or if you feel an impress on it, naturally you will purify it, either with salt and water or burying it in salt, just having a little glass and sticking it down into the salt, into the sea salt, and leaving it for a few hours or over the day or over the night. I like to use the Greek Orthodox prayer rings, because they have all the rosary on a very small ring, and with the cross, usually has a cross on the top, and that can be set right over the heart of that individual on his picture. It is an impress of the healer. The healer in prayer, it aids that healer by impress and patterning and positive thought and devotional holding up the perfection of that individual. I think it helps more if you don't know the person. Sometimes relatives who love people very dearly and are so empathetic that they're just, you know, they're either at the hospital all the time or they're on their minds all the time, just can't drop the patient's condition. Or the mates of terminal cancer patients who, you know, get beyond the point of being able to do anything themselves. They're just so drastically involved with the suffering of a beloved that the empathy has ruined them as being of any value as healers to that individual. In those cases, I think that your prayer and your putting an impress for yourself. This is not to say that the bead with the impress of a master, the rosary or the mala or the tasbih will of itself be a healing object, but it has the impress for you and in your and builds your faith and your assurance that you have something to offer. Excellent way of doing it. When you are through with your healing, those pictures must always be returned to the sender. And they should always be returned with a blessing. If it's not written on it, then you put your hands on it and say a prayer onto it. One of the best prayers that we have is our very simple healing prayer that's in every Sufi healing pamphlet or in the gayans that are bound today with Nirtan Gayan and Vadan bound together. And it is called Nayaz. And it goes, beloved Lord, Almighty God, through the rays of the sun, through the waves of the air, through the all-pervading life in space, purify and revivify, use the name, body, heart, and soul. Amen. And then place that little object on that person's picture and leave it there on your altar or the little shelf or wherever you've set aside for your spiritual work and leave it for the day. Sometimes you can aid children that are very upset by taking your malas off of your own neck and putting it over theirs. Children in pain or just crexing because they feel so badly will take that and absorb from it, and they'll let you know when they're through with it. They'll hand it back to you, and sometimes they don't, and I never take it away from the child. Then I leave it with the child and until the parent, they fall asleep and the parent takes it off. But the impress of objects is very important in our day. It has been used and is still used in all of the Indian shamans, American Indian shamans, in all the magic that is used for healing in the South Pacific Isles. There are always objects of impress. And what better than those things that we wear to remind us of the count of our own prayers? I'm always a little amazed at people who say they don't have time for themselves because they're so busy doing the healing of others. Because just as a teacher wears thin and burns out if his own practices are not religiously held to, so the healers can at any time. Whether it's a mother, a caretaker, a friend who's going into visitation seriously, there must be work on oneself. And I feel it is the primary one, that we must at all times work to keep our channels clear. You know, it doesn't take very long to do the 20 breaths, Sufi breaths, in the morning upon awakening. As you go along, you'll find that more and more you'll wake up before you have to wake up. 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll be awake and wonder, what woke me up or why am I awake? Did you ever think that it might be your guides reminding you to do your practices? Start them right then and there. Do your purifications, you'll fall back to sleep, and you will get more sleep in that hour or two before you get up than you would ever get with the 8 hours straight. And when you do get up and have the time, then do your ablutions. We say we should always do our ablutions to purify the breath, to clear the channels of the breath, both our hands and our up our feet to our above our ankles and our to our elbows, much as we see surgeons wash in the been there preparing for surgery, or nurses washing their hands carefully after caring for one patient and going to another. But it's very important that we also clean the nostrils. Because more and more in this polluted day that we live in, we are inhaling it all the time. There is no such thing as a person who can live organically anymore, because the air itself is polluted, the waters carry it down into the soil, underground rivers are polluted, sprays are used even when we don't use them. And we found this out in our garden in the Salinas Valley, where we were just fighting the salad bowl of America, trying to fight all the sprays that the air currents were funneling down past our garden. And so I found with my 22 allergies that when I tested up or put on the biofeedback foods, which always agreed with me, they were testing against me. And of course there are the two views, the one that you use apple cider vinegar, 1 cup to a gallon, to wash all vegetables until you see the color of that water change. Then throw it out and make a new jug. Or you can use some of the milder baby detergents that are used for baby washing of baby diapers. For instance, like Dreft is one of them. It's not a particularly fine trade name, but it is one product you can use. Washing off the spray and then with the clear water, the final rinse. But we have to fight pollution in all healing today. There is no way we can keep ourselves clear if we are not willing to fast once a week and to use the common purification, cleansing of the vegetable or the fruit before we eat it. Of course, if it's been sprayed in the bud, it's in the seed, right? Or around the seed, and we're still getting it. And we can't eliminate the fruits and the veggies from our diets because they are the big part of our diets, the large part. But to be conscious of it as an individual, keeping your own health on top of it, conscious of it in regards to healing others, that you are no better a healer than you are a clear channel. And when that clear channel goes, then your healing days are over. So you've got to keep at it all the time. And I feel today, right now, that the fasting once a week is the best thing we can do. Some people think that fasting means that you just don't eat all day long. You know, that's not the way it should be for someone in the working field who's in the healing arts at all, has to be on his feet and giving out a great deal of energy. But you can put yourself on a timer, and once every hour, take those 8 ounces of a liquid that agrees with you, or pure water. There's nothing better than the water fast if you can do it. But if you can't, take that. Then it's your regular mealtime, whatever you've made that juice of, stew it and eat that at the regular mealtime. And the same in the evening. And I'll guarantee you that you can put in a 12-hour day without feeling hungry or weak or depleted, and you will be really clarifying every channel of your body, giving your intestines a rest and your tummy a rest, washing through you toxic poisons that couldn't get out otherwise. Now, there are two types of baths that healers should be taking, or anyone trying to work on detoxifying the body of just the ordinary pollution that we get every day. And one is the apple cider bath, the cup of apple cider vinegar in the bathtub. Not terribly hot water. It's warm water that opens the pores of the skin better and closes it easier when you get out. And the other one, of course, is the 2 tablespoons of Clorox in the bathtub water once a week. And maintaining these very simple purification laws, never underrating ever the work that you do on the rays of the sun, the work that you do on picking up the light wherever you see it in nature, consciously inhaling it, pulling into your eyes, exhaling down to your heart. And, of course, the earth always. At the Marin Seed Center, we always had clean earth that we kept covered. And that we had, by clean earth, I mean earth that had been taken out of soil we dug 2 feet down to get, and then kept it covered in sandboxes that had covers on them so cats in the neighborhood couldn't get in them during the daytime. And we mixed water with that and purposely let our babies play in that mud. It's gone out of fashion. People today think their children have to be clean all the time and they must not touch the earth. And I'm talking of dirt. I'm not talking of sand. You know, sand is rock that is broken down and washed by the waters until it has been broken down into very fine pellets. It is quite a different thing in chemistry and a different thing esoterically as a member of the mineral kingdom than is the earth, the mother who carries it all within her bosom. We need earth. We had a baby that ate so much dirt that it came out of the BMs just the way it went in. And both Walia and I became so distracted, we called in the state nurse and got the whole 5 associations working with us together on it, who said, well, they didn't know why some infants did that, but it didn't seem to hurt them. That was the opinion of all of them. But we thought it was so unnatural that the child did it. But, you know, I saw that boy last year, is now about two and a half, three years of age, somewhere in there. And boy, he's a strong little guy, you know. And I ask his mother, does he still eat earth? She says, no, he plays with clay now. But I'll bet you anything, there's a finger in his mouth licking it off, you know. So earth itself is a natural healer and is necessary is somewhere in the intestinal tract or in the chemistry of that body. There was the need for the minerals that are in earth itself. Not to underrate that at all. Well, my time is up, and I've loved talking to all of you, and I hope that you go to the table and pick up some of the pamphlets that are from the Seed Center work for children, parents, that you'll learn how to do etheric massage, the work that I've been talking to you about today, where you can use the light of your own being and your own magnetic body to heal others. And if you're fathers or males, learn how to do the chakra massage. Don't be afraid to do the counterclockwise massage on a baby's spine from the tailbone up. And it need not be strong, and you need not know centers and push chakras or be worrying about do you know enough to do it. It is the magnetism of the male's hand from the palm of his hands. It is the light of the woman's fingertips, the magnetic body which flows so caressingly through her fingertips as it does through the palms of the male, that is the most wonderful healer that we can possibly use on children or very ill people. God bless and keep you all healed and good healers.